Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Dear Christian friends, the word of our God for our consideration this morning is recorded for us in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. There we read the first five verses. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of our God, Christian friend. It's always nice to come home. Well, don't get me wrong, I love a great vacation. It's always nice to kind of unplug from the regular routine for a little bit and to refresh in both body and in mind. But it's always nice to come home, to that place where everything is in the precise place that I would keep it. Except, of course, when I've misplaced it. Where my bed seems to know me so very well. And where even that old regular routine of mine, well, there's something comforting about it too. Maybe Judy Garland said it best so many years ago. There really is no place like home. There's all of those thoughts that kind of came rushing into my mind this week as I read the words of that lesson from Revelation chapter 22. Oh, not because I've been there before or am very familiar with it. Not because it's the same old grind and somehow mundane. It is none of those things. But there's something comforting about that picture, isn't there? It's almost as if, as God gives that revelation to John, he's setting out the welcome mat in front of each one of us, looking us right in the eye and saying those words we have longed to hear. Welcome home. With that in mind, then I invite you once again to dive into those words of this picture, this revelation of Jesus Christ that God has given to his apostle John. Picture it this morning. If you have to, you can even close your eyes. This morning, it doesn't matter. And walk those streets with me. As it all opens, we see that river, don't we? Clear as crystal, we are told. You can look into it, and you can see all the way down to the bottom. God tells us exactly what this water is. For he tells us that this is the river of the water of life. And just like that, the Holy Scriptures begin to explode for us, transporting us back through the pages of that great history book to outside the city of Sychar, Jacob's well. Jesus is sitting there, tired after his long journey. He's hoping for some water. The disciples have all gone into town to replenish the stocks of things that they need. And then walks up a woman, a Gentile. Jesus asks her for a drink. At first, she's absolutely shocked. Jews don't talk to Gentiles. She protests a little bit. But then Jesus says those words. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Great road is also in this city. In fact, that river runs right down the middle of it. And as our eyes begin to walk the bricks of the road in front of us, traveling along that river, it's then that we see it. The source of it all. For John tells us that it all flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. See it there? Do you hear it? The throne of God and the Lamb's throne, they are one in the same. Jesus Christ, our great sacrifice, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, this is God Himself. He shares the throne of the Father and the Holy Spirit, all three persons together in one, that holy Trinity of ours. We stand in awe of the glory. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Come back to that tree in just a moment. I'm willing to guess that you missed something in all of the glory as you swept over it. At least I did the first time that I saw it. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, how we need that tree. Day, every day, throughout the pages of history and into pages yet unwritten to heal the nations. Lord, how amazing that would be. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. It takes my breath away every time I see it, every time I read it, because this place is perfection. Here, sin has gone forever. The curse can touch us no more. Here, we stand in awe of the glory of our God and not the back of him as he once showed to Moses in the pages of Scripture. We get to look God right in the eye, face to face, in all of the glory, in all of the perfection, as he removes the veil completely, and we get to know him, not by faith, but by sight, as Thomas so often asked for. But it's standing in all of this glory, the curse gone forever, that it strikes me. Why am I here? I just don't belong here. Not standing here in front of the holiness and perfection of God as sin so easily flows from me in thought and word and deed. How can I ever stand in the presence of absolute perfection like this? fear begins to overtake me. And I don't know what to do anymore, whether to grab at the leaves of the tree or turn away and run as fast as I can from all of this glory before it would destroy me. And as we turn to run from all of it, it's then that we see it again. The tree. I told you we'd come back. Did you see it the first time? It's Irenaeus who tells us that the word in Greek that is used for tree here would probably be the Hebrew counterpart for that bundle of wood that was once tied up and thrown over the back of Isaac as he and Abraham traveled up that mountain for that sacrifice yet unknown. It was probably this word that would have also served as the pole for that serpent, bronze serpent that Moses sits upon it when Israel was traveling through the desert and felt the bite of those serpents, venomous as they were, and their lives began to ebb away, through which God would restore his people. And it was this word, xulon, which was the wood that would form the timbers of that amazing structure fashioned together, the cross that is then set upon our Savior Jesus as he carries it to Golgotha and dies upon it for your sins, for mine, that we might stand in this place in front of all of this glory. And as we see it anew, we begin to see all of them. How did we miss them before? We know so many of them by their names. These are our loved ones who have gone before us, now serving God in all of his glory. These are those who have gone through the great tribulation and now stand on the other side. There's Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah and David and John the Baptist. There's Peter and James and John. And what are they doing? They're staring at us. As they do so, they have joy and elation on their faces. Why are they so happy that we are here? Because they've been waiting for us. Waiting for us to stand in this glory and in this perfection. To be able to serve our God in all of the perfection that he has always wanted for us. They will see his face. And his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. You see, dear friends, this isn't just the home of God. It is the home of all of his servants, all believers of all time who will reign with him forever and ever. Finally, we will be able to serve him in total perfection. Far too often in this life, the good that we would do, the gifts that we would bring to our God of time and talent and treasure, too often, it's stained by our own sinfulness. Too often, it doesn't shine in all of its splendor and glory, but before our God. There, the curse is gone forever. And we will finally be perfect, serving him in all of that perfection we've always wanted to. Now, it's all just a revelation, isn't it? Because for now, God would have us live in this place, In a world that is overrun by sin, as people who have to battle daily against our own sinfulness, but he has left us here that we might hold out that treasure of his, that we might serve him with his word, even as we tell others of what our Savior has done for us. But one day, we'll see it. The river, the road, the throne, the tree. And then as God looks us right in the eye, we'll hear the words we have longed to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Amen. Please stand. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Amen. We'll now join together in confessing our Christian faith as we use the words of the Nicene Creed.